Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
It's great. Fantastic. Okay, have a seat. We're going to get into the Word now. And then we're going to do some other things a bit later on. Brilliant. Great. If you want to turn to Joshua chapter 1. God is speaking about possessing, about taking land, taking ground, taking lives. And over the last 3 months, the focus, if you like, overall, has been about devotion, being devoted to Him, to one another, and to His purposes. And therefore, there's got to be a working out of what God is saying. And I just want to share for a few minutes, really, something that God has been speaking to me about for myself personally, but also for us as a church. And this is for our mindset and our mentality as a church, but it's also for our mindset and mentality for us as individual believers as to how we're to think about our lives and how we're to act daily in our lives, okay? It's very easy, isn't it, to just get caught up with the everyday things of life. And, you know, it's easy when you get into your job and into other situations to be very kind of focused on doing the job in the right way and doing everything correctly and sticking to all the right procedures and ways in which you're supposed to do things and all of that. But in the middle of all that, God wants us to be having a certain way of thinking and a certain way of understanding for you as an individual in that place where your life is being lived, but also what that means that you are part of as a bigger entity called the body of Christ. And within that, what we are called to as a church in Kingdom Faith and Kingdom Faith as a whole, in terms of the way we think, the way we see things, what is going on in our spirit, which then affects everything around us. So your spirit needs to have a mentality, not just your mind, okay? Your spirit needs to have a mentality, a way of thinking. All right, normally we say we've got the mind of Christ, but actually your spirit, when it's alive, it has a certain way of thinking. Now, whose thinking is in there? Christ, isn't it? So we want the mind of Christ, but the mind of Christ isn't just in our natural mind. The mind of Christ is also in our spirit. So our spirit has a mind. It has a way it processes, thinks, and works things through. And we want to live our lives from the mind and the way of the Spirit that is in us, okay? Now, I just want to, as a very quick opening, because I know time's a bit short, so I just want to read a few things, make a few comments, and just share one or two things that God's been personally speaking to me about and what my actions have been as a result of what God has been saying, okay? So Joshua chapter 1, these are incredibly well-known verses, okay? So just please stick with me, all right? Because you might just think, oh yeah, Joshua chapter 1, read it, know it off by heart, preached on it, slept about it, you know, all sorts of stuff about it, stories when I was a kid, the whole lot, but just hang on there for a minute, okay? At the beginning of the chapter, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Now, this is the verse. And I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. What fantastic promises, eh? This is for you and for me. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, I was reading this earlier in the beginning of the week, Monday sometime, I think, and I was just praying about some stuff, and God kind of just go to Joshua at the beginning and start reading. And so I began to read, and in verse 3 there, this word set just stuck out, okay, as I read it. I will give you every place where you set your foot. And I thought, what does the word set there mean? And the word set there actually means to make a mark or to make a footprint, okay? It means to establish something, okay? So, you know, we talk about, everywhere we set our foot, God gives us the ground. And sometimes we just walk up and down and think, well, if I walk around my town, God's going to give it to me. And we can walk around the town doing prayer walks. And well, if I walk down this street, he'll give it to me because I've walked there. Well, we're actually missing, if we just think it's going to be like that, then we're missing actually what God wants to help us understand. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Now, when you, the word set there, as I've said, is to make a mark. It's to make a footprint or to establish something. Now, also, the word set there means to tread, okay? Now, back in these times, when you put a tread on something, what you did is you actually got the bow of a bow and arrow, okay? And you got the bow and you had the bow on the ground and curving up this way, and you put your foot on the middle of the bow, and that's called to tread, okay? And when you tread on the bow there, you then get hold of the wire and you pull it up, okay, in preparation for placing the arrow. So you set it to pull it, and then you get the thing in place, and then you set yourself to hit the target. That's what the word means, all of that in one word. That's pretty good, isn't it? Because when we read it, we go, we think, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Right, I'm walking around my town. Thank you, Jesus. There's a spirit in that shop. I command that to get out. There's a demon behind that brick. I command that to come out. There's a spirit in, you know, we do all of that stuff, you know. But actually, God wants to understand something slightly more than that. I give you every place where you mark, where you make a tread, where you set yourself to hit the target. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And straight after he says that to Joshua, so Joshua understands that when God speaks to him. God is not saying wherever you walk is yours. He's saying wherever you set yourself and aim at the target that I give you, then listen to what follows, okay? Your territory. So he's like, set yourself for this lot because this is what I'm giving you. And he defines the territory that he's going to give him, okay? Then he goes on, describes it all. Then he says in verse 5, if you set yourself for this territory that I'm giving you, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you and never forsake you. This is pretty good. Then it says, be strong and courageous. And he goes on. Then he says, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. Don't forget the old in terms of what's built into your life. Meditate on that. Live according to it. Then he says, then you will be prosperous and successful. Where's the prospering and the success? It's in the place where you set yourself in relation to what God has determined. And as you focus on hitting the target, that's what you have prosperity and success in terms of the purposes of God. Now, there's two things that need to cooperate with what God is saying. One is prayer, and then one is obedience. We love, well, I don't know if we love either of those words sometimes, you know. But there's two different things that happen, and we need to understand both in relation to what God is saying and doing. In prayer, what happens? In prayer, that's where the victory is established. Without victory, you can work as hard as you like, and you can have great conversations. Even the presence of God can come on somebody. But without the prayer, the victory that's established for somebody's life or for a particular thing, it will be good, but it won't be great. And it certainly won't be eternal. And so God wants us to understand that the prayer establishes victory, but also prayer determines the canopy or the sphere of influence that we're then going to move in. Many Christians think that prayer is when we say, well, God, I want to do this. Please, will you bless me? Yet what God wants us to understand is prayer is more about determining a canopy, a space, an environment. We are this size within it. Prayer extends and expands the environment, the canopy of what God wants to do. And then when we obey, we then grow into the expanse of what we have already established the victory in with prayer. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes.
Everybody?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you're with me. Even the music's with me. That's cool. Is that the angels responding? We are with you, brother. All right. Cool. Gabriel and all his mates, they're listening in. So we have this prayer. Why do we have victory in prayer? Because it's not to ask God to bless what we're doing. Victory in prayer is about pushing the boundaries further so that we've got more to grow into. A few weeks ago, we said, come on, let's all pray in tongues for a week, for an hour, every night of the week. And the people that have been doing that, or at least they've been praying for 20 minutes, half an hour, they said, I've been praying in tongues. I haven't quite managed the hour, but I've been going for half an hour. I've just been going for it. Every person that has talked to me in the last few weeks about praying in tongues, something new is happening in their life. There's a freshness. There's just something bursting out. And the other thing that goes with that is people have said, and things are happening around me now in a way they weren't a few weeks ago. It's interesting. So praying in tongues, you know, this is important because tongues isn't just, you know, a bit of shundine that we do in worship or when we pray because we can't think of anything else to say. What praying in tongues does, it builds your spirit, it feeds your spirit, it expands the capacity of your spirit, it stretches out the tent pegs of your life and puts them in the ground in a wider place so you've got more to grow into so that you can, your capacity of who you are in God can grow. Because you created space in the spirit, in your spirit, and then you live out of that, okay, or from it. So that's important, okay? So I want to encourage you, if you haven't been doing that or you've been struggling, don't worry about the hour. Just give yourself 15 minutes. Give yourself 20 minutes. Just go beyond what you normally do. Give yourself, pray. Just get in your lounge or wherever you like to pray and pray in the spirit. Give it 20 minutes. Give it 25 minutes. Just see what God can do and how he begins to stretch you. Okay, we haven't got any more time to go into that. But just give it a crack and see what happens. Something new will break open in your life, okay? The other thing that goes with that is the obedience, the action, okay? There's got to be action that goes with the prayer because then we see greater fruitfulness. You know, there's some awesome things happening and things that I've, you know, people I've talked to, some testimony stories getting back to me of what we've been calling holy visitations, where God has just been turning up in people's lives and revealing himself, both with unsaved people and with people in the church in different ways. And it's amazing what God is doing. There's a sense and there's a new release of the Spirit in different ways. And for me, what's important is not so much what happens on a Sunday, which are the goalposts. Every Sunday is like a goalpost, right? But it's what happens between the goalposts that determines how many goals we score. Because we can have a fantastic Sunday, but it's what goes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday that determines what happens in our lives and how we live and move in that and what God's doing. And it's great hearing what is happening between the goalposts during the week with God turning up. He's beginning in certain things to begin to take things out of our hands and beginning to do things when we're not there. Cool. We'll come to all that in a minute. All right, I've got to speed up. Okay. So one of the things God spoke to me about, God spoke to me a little while ago about coming down here every morning early to come and pray, walk around the building, and just to begin praying and just doing whatever he wants me to do when I get here. And last week, I came down on the Tuesday morning. I was walking around, it was on a Tuesday morning. And I was just, there were no chairs in here or anything, and I was just walking around beginning to worship the Lord. And as I began to worship and pray and stuff, the Lord just began to speak to me, and he said to me, I want you to begin to mark some territory. I want you to mark out some territory in your town, in the town centre and out in the housing areas, which is then going to have an effect out into the 25-mile radius and beyond. This is to do with my own personal life and to do with Kingdom Faith. And God just began to speak to me about this marking territory and then this thing with about setting your foot, you know, and what it means. And And I just want to share with you really what God told me to do. And you know when God tells you to do something and you do it, you just start hearing his voice about things. Now, because I said, well, why can't I just pray at home? And he said, just go down the building, you know. You know, like, when he said, oh, I'm like, why? And he's like, well, just, you know, can't I pray? No, just go to the building, mate, and do as you're told. So the first morning I came down here, I was only down here a few minutes, and God, boom, started to speak. You know, it's like, well, why couldn't you have done this? I didn't say that to the Lord, but, you know, you kind of, you could have told me in my lounge. I didn't have to walk down here in the rain or whatever, or drive, you know. And so he began to speak to me and show me stuff. And so it's important just to do whatever God says, right? And I just want to read just a little bit of what I wrote down on that morning, okay? He said, Clive, I want you to mark out some territory in prayer. The town. Go down to the town. Walk through the streets, walkways, shops, etc. As you go, release my purposes for Horsham. Demand the dead to be given up, the lost found, the sick healed, the broken restored, and the hurting to be relieved. In the housing areas, walk through the various housing areas in the town doing the same thing. As you do this, walls of the enemy will come down. The power of his grip on lives will be loosened, cut off, and broken. As you go, declare and decree my will and purpose. Right? So I'm not one necessarily just for prayer walking where you're just going up. So I know some of you love walking and praying. I go for a walk and I get distracted by everything that's around me. You know, and so I kind of get in a room and zone in with God, you know. But he said, I want you to go around the town, but I don't want you just to walk through praying in tongues and shundine and having a good time on your own. I want you to go and mark territory. So I'm like, okay. And so earlier in this week, when I was down here praying, God said to me, Friday morning, I want you to go down to town. I want you to just go and mark some territory. When you get there, I'll show you what to do. So I got down the town and I parked in Piri's Place car park and got out of my car. And as I got out, I just felt the Lord say, just walk. When you describe things, you felt the Lord. It sounds like you're standing there next to you talking to you. I just had a thought, okay? Let's try and make it as straightforward as possible. I had this thought, just walk down the center of town, East Street, West Street, and just walk down the center. And so as I got to the top of East Street, I just began to walk down there, and I just felt the Lord say to me, he said, just thank me for my salvation for this town. That's all I want you to do. Don't take authority over anything. Don't do this, that, and the other. Just thank me for my salvation. So I'm at the top of East Street, and so I'm like, okay. So I start to walk down East Street, and Father, I thank you for your salvation. I just declare that over Horsham, your salvation. I thank you. You know, walking down West Street, it got down to that really beautiful ball that we have in the town that doesn't work most of the time and chucks out dirty water and all of that, you know, that amazing landmark that we have in the town there. And as I got down to that, I was about to go left and I felt the Lord said, just go straight on because you're marking out the cross. And I was like, okay. And straight away, what I had in my mind was I could see, and he just said, keep going because you're marking out the cross and you're going to come back to this point, then go up the other way, up Springfield Road, then come back to this and go down the other way around the Sainsbury's roundabout and come back. And then you're going to walk back the way you've come, but further back. And you're marking out the cross for this town. And he said to me, what I'm doing, I want to mark out my salvation in this town. And then it's interesting, the four roads that it goes, they're all main roads coming into Horsham, but they go out of Horsham, out into the 25-mile radius. They all go in different directions, north, east, south, and west, okay? But as I was walking, you know, right at the beginning from the top of East Street, because of what God said about set your foot, God said to me, you're not just walking. The whole action of what you're doing this morning is setting your foot on this town, but what I'm doing, he said, is I'm setting my salvation on this town, and I'm marking right in the center of the town my salvation for this town. That's what you're doing. So I'm walking through, and I'm still just thanking God for his salvation. I went as far down the Bishopric, that to the end of the last retail place, then walked back and did the other two, Springfield up to the end of the retail there, down to Sainsbury's roundabout and back. And, you know, there's CCTV cameras, aren't there, in town? And I'm the only person down there, apart from the odd road sweeper, you know, machine or two. And you're walking through and you see all these cameras and you're like, I wonder if somebody's sitting there. What's a bloke doing this time of the morning walking through the town? And you know the bit where what's it actually called? Shelley's Fountain, isn't it? And they go, well, I don't know if it even works anymore. But anyway, it's there. And when I got to that after coming down Springfield Road and I came to it to go straight on down towards the Sainsbury's roundabout, I felt the Lord said, just walk round it. And I'm like, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, Father, I don't mind walking through the town, but if I start going round and round, it's not like there's loads of people in the town here and nobody's going to notice. I'm the only one here and there's a camera looking at the jolly thing that goes up and down now. So if I'm walking round, there's going to be a couple of blokes in an office somewhere thinking, what on earth is that bloke doing walking round that thing, round and round and round? Let's go down there and pick him up in a police car or something. And so as I walked up to him, began to walk round, God said to me, he said, this is a meeting point. This is a place where loads of people meet. I'll meet you there at the fountain. Or people sit there and talk about all their problems. Loads of young people congregate there. Certain things, I felt God say to me, there's a meeting point for certain criminal activities that go on where people just make a connection because people don't think you'd make that in public. You try and do it in secret. Well, nobody expects to do certain things in public. And I just felt God say, there's some things going on. I want you to walk around it because I'm going to circle, I'm going to ambush the enemy in this place. And you're going to hear of lives being changed because of what I'm going to do right at this point. And so I walked around and then went down the other way, down towards Sainsbury's and round and back up and walked the other way right to the front of East Street, up the Brighton Road, under the bridge, and out to about the furthest business point down there somewhere, and then came back. But all the time, in my thinking and in my spirit, it wasn't just every step I take, you know. It was what I'm doing during this hour that it took. I wasn't racing around. I was just thinking, right, this whole action is setting or treading and pulling back the whatever you call the thing, string, and it's deep this morning, and setting not just myself but what God wants to do in this town. Oh, I don't know, somebody else might have done this, I don't know, I'm not claiming that I'm, you know, all I'm doing is just doing what I felt God say to me, right? And you might have done this already, somebody else from another church might have done, I don't know, but I just felt God say, what I'm doing is I'm setting my salvation purposes for this town, and I'm treading on it right now. And this is the beginning of a new release of salvation for this town and the workings of God. And it's like the cross opens up the possibilities of God. And it was like I just felt God say, I'm opening up all of my possibilities for this town. Now, for us as a church, that also then extends into this 25-mile radius. When you see the roads that go out of the town, they're all main roads coming in and out. And it was like God was saying, for us as a church, it was like God said, I'm establishing my salvation purposes for this 25-mile radius in relation to everything that I've called Kingdom Faith to be doing. So I was like buzzing. I'm like, come on, this is cool. Because I went down there just to, I don't know, I'm going around the town and whatever. I don't know what to do when I get there. But when I got there, God began to speak and show me. And by the time I got back in my car, it was like, come on, this town is a new town. It's a different town now. Something's being released over this town. Now, I wasn't praying loads. I didn't pray anything for anybody or any. All I did was just thank God all the way around for his salvation purposes and then just declared that at different times. I didn't particularly pray loads in tongues. I just kept just doing what God showed me to do, okay? Now, that's something that I believe. And I don't know, I'm going to walk around other housing areas or whatever. I'm not saying how I'm going to do it or what, I don't know. Just see what God wants to do at any given moment. But I know something in me is kind of sparking in a fresh way for what God has called us to be doing and what we're about as Kingdom Faith. And it's exciting to see what is going on and just some of the stories and testimonies coming back that God is at work in a lot of people's lives. And just quickly turn to Job 29 because I need to scoot through this very, very quickly, okay, because what time did you make it? 10 past 11. Who says nearly quarter past? Yeah. You're fast, okay? It's 10 past. I don't know if... Anyway, Job 29. We've kind of gone through this before. But I felt earlier in the week, I spoke on some of this in a keynote on Tuesday with all the team and others who were there. But I just want to read through this quickly. Because in relation to setting our foot, it's amazing what God is already doing and what is already happening, okay? Here's Job, and in one sense, he's looking back to when he was a real influence in his city, okay? And the reasons why he was an influence and how God was using him and working through his life. Let's just quickly read from verse 7. When I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square, the young men saw me and stepped aside, and the old men rose to their feet. The chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. The voices of the nobles were hushed and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. Whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me. Wow, what a great way to be seen in the community, all right? That's how God is wanting the church to be seen, not just seen, but that's how God wants the community or the town to relate to and respond to the church, okay? That the church is having such an influence because it's so embedded into all aspects of life out there that whenever we're around in any place, that the people want to hear what we've got to say. Because we're there, something different is taking place. So they want us to be involved in different things. And this is the reason in verse 12, he said, why he had that influence and that favor. Isn't it this? Because I rescued the poor who cried for help and the fatherless who had none to assist him. As I began to read through this the other day, God just began to spark in me the different things that are already going on as a church that we're involved in that are represented even in this chapter. And let's just read through and I'll try and bring in some of those things as just quickly as we go through. Because I rescued the poor who cried for help. Now, there's various ministries that are reaching people in different situations. Now, obviously, the storehouse is reaching out into people's lives who are and maybe materially aren't particularly well off, and they need help in different ways, whether it's furniture or food or clothing or practical help in some way. We know that the poor can be poor both in the natural but also spiritually, okay? And there's a number of ministries and people that are reaching the poor, okay? The storehouse being one of them. The fatherless who had none to assist him. Now, we have a growing relationship with the Women's Refuge and how God is just connecting us with the local Women's Refuge. There's other things to do with the children's work, J24/7, and with the youth work where we're reaching young people and children in situations where they're either fatherless there or parentless or motherless. In that scenario, and we're working with people, many of us maybe are from that kind of background, and we're reaching into different people's lives and beginning to affect people and support them and help them in certain ways, okay? The man who was dying blessed me. Now, last Saturday at the fun day, one of the people there from South Holmes came out to chat with me, I think I told you last week, and he just said, I just want to thank you as a church for what you do in South Holmes. This is the guy that said Dave Fraser was like the pastor of South Holmes. It's interesting when I read this verse, it says, the man who was dying, bless me. And we know from just what we're doing on that housing area that there are many blokes that just live in their flats and they don't really go out. They're kind of trapped in their box, if you like, and don't go out and do much because of various reasons. And they're quite isolated and lonely and everything that goes with that. But I just felt God say, that is some of what you're doing. The man who was dying, bless me. Here's somebody last week who said, the church has really helped me in different ways. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing. That guy was blessing us. Even though we're the ones that want to bless him, he's turning around saying, I want to bless you. And there's blokes, there are men, there are people that, if you like, they're dying inside their own lives and inside their own four walls. Yet they turn around as we go to them and say, thank you for coming. I want to bless you. And we're not doing it for us to be blessed. We're doing it because we want to see lives turn around. But it's just interesting what is in this verse. this guy's talking about the influence he had in his town, but these are the reasons why. Because he helped the poor, because he helped the fatherless, because he went to those who were dying, and they turned around and said, "Man, I just want to thank you, I want to bless you. I made the widow's heart sing." There's a whole ministry here to elderly people, and not that widows are necessarily always older, but we have a ministry, you know, with the tea dance, and a number of you going to old folks' homes and everything. And we're working with this older generation and going into their lives and seeing God. And the widow's heart singing. And we've seen some great things happen as a result. Now listen to this next one. I thought this was awesome, this next one. "I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban." When I read that, I felt God say, that is what Elizabeth Allen represents in terms of what she is involved with all of the embryology bill, all of the the cloning issues, and all of that whole area that she represents as part of Kingdom Faith. It was like God was saying, "I've clothed her with a robe of righteousness. I've put justice inside of her, and she's standing for something in a place of unrighteousness and where there is no justice." But in one sense, that's our part in this part of the chapter, standing up for righteousness where laws are being stopped in our nation because of what she's doing, but also laws are beginning to come into place because of what she's doing. And I was reading, thinking, God, this is awesome. Everything we're doing is in the Word. It's there. And as I was reading this, God was saying, what are you doing? You're setting your foot. Everything that you're reading about here, somebody or some people are saying, we are treading on this ground. We are not going to let it be taken any longer. Instead, we're going to move forward in people's lives in whatever situation because we've got our foot on the bow. We're pulling it back. We're setting ourselves for victory, and we're not going to settle for anything less than everything that God has purposed to do in people's lives. I don't know what you're thinking this morning or what you're doing, but I just feel like some of you need to stand up, shout your head off for a minute and just get rid of, I don't know what it is over your life, but stand up, and I just want you to shout from the bottom of your lungs now. Quick, get on your feet, quick. Come on, we just need to shout something to the Lord. Come on. Okay, just sit down.
In this church, listen, we do not have a spirit. We do not have anything that shrinks back.
Yes. God has blessed us so much with what we have. What he's got it put in us is to move forward, to take ground every single day of your life. Whatever you're doing, wherever you work, if you're running a business, whatever you're doing, whether you're at home with the kids, every day is a day of marking something, setting yourself and saying, I'm hitting that target and nothing is going to stop me. Because that's the spirit by which we live. Because that's what God's put on the inside of us, okay? Just read through the rest. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. What is that? That's the message that we have. People are blind out there. People are lame. They're crippled, yes, physically and all of that, but also spiritually. And we come with the gospel of the kingdom, which is good news, into people's lives. And we also come to see the people healed and set free. I was a father to the needy, and we've covered that. I took up the case of the stranger. We go into, what's it called at Gatwick? Tinsley House. There's three different lots of people that go in every week over there. We're going to visit those who are wanting to be in the country or not supposed to be in the country. We're going to visit them. There are loads of people coming to live in this country from other nations. And we want to be the person there for the stranger. I took the case of the stranger. We don't want to be racist in any way whatsoever. Well, let's get these people out of the country. God's bringing the nations to our country, and we want to be right there for the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from the teeth. What's that? That's the spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer, the intercession, the prayer breaks every fang of the wicked and snatches every victim from his teeth. That's the spirit of prayer. That's why the VIPs are so important. Because it's not just we're going out to do this, God, would you bless it? What we're saying is we're contending, not just for a little outreach there on a Wednesday afternoon or something, but we're contending for the whole town, the whole region, the whole nation to be changed. Amen. And therefore, there's got to be victory in our spirit. And that victory is going to come by establishing that in prayer when we get together, or in the prayer strategy we're going to roll out. I'm going to talk about in 2 or 3 weeks' time that's all coming together, that in some ways this is part of. Sorry, I'm just a bit of a ranter this morning, because I'm just passionate that as a church we get into top gear, that we don't have any maintenance, we don't have any familiarity, we don't have any cruise kind of mode or anything like that. We want to enjoy the journey and have a great time in what God's doing, but let's make sure we're in top gear getting there. All right. So any cobwebs, anything like that, get rid of them. Do a spring clean if you need to in your life, in your spirit, in your attitudes, anything you need to do. Do whatever it takes to make sure you're going as fast as you possibly can. All right. Not with any pressure that somebody's, well, oh, you're not, you know, but it's like, come on, what else is there to live for? The purposes of God. But the purposes of God for you are going to be in different places than they are for me. Whatever the purposes of God are for you, work at it and do it wholeheartedly, 100%, as fast as you possibly can with everything you've got. And collectively together in all the facets of life that he's covering with us as a church, we're going to have great influence and impact and lives changed. Amen. Okay, what's the time? 11:05. I thought I will die in my own house. My days as numerous as the sand. The guy didn't know what was coming. He thought he had it made. He had it easy. Or I'll just enjoy what I've got. And God turns up and turns it all upside down. Good. We want to live in the stretch zone, don't we? You've heard that before. Not in the comfort zone or the panic zone, but in the stretch zone. That's where you're going to be fruitful. That's where God wants us to live our lives, in the stretch zone, all right? Anyway, let's just quickly read on. This is great, this next bit. My roots will reach to the water, and the dew will lie all night on my branches. This is fantastic. My roots will reach to the water. What's God talking about? He's saying, come on, dig, guys, dig. The deeper you go, like we heard Pastor Colin say, the fresher, the cleaner the water, and then the flow that comes from that, you know, it's going to water everything that's going on around our lives, okay? But listen to this next bit. So we want to dig, keep pressing into God. And the dew will lie all night on my branches. Even when we're asleep, God's going to be working.
Amen.
I love that. Even when we're asleep in the middle of the night, whatever, God is waking other people up, turning up, revealing himself and changing lives.
Amen.
When that begins to happen, you know God is beginning to take control of what is going on. And that's happening increasingly. It's fantastic. My glory will remain fresh in me. What does that mean? When I was praying about that, God said to me, that's why worship is so, so important. Because when you worship me, what you're doing is you're pulling heaven down on earth. You're pulling my glory down on earth. That's why you've got to go beyond just singing a bit in tongues and a bit of a la-la and a few songs here and there. That's why you've got to engage your spirit. Get hold of me. Do it with everything you've got. Because you're grabbing hold of heaven, saying, God, I want to pull heaven down to earth to see you move in people's lives. And that's partly how you stay fresh in God. My glory will remain fresh in me. Why? How do you stay fresh? Get in there with God. Worship. When you feel like you want to stop, just go an extra few minutes, because that's your breakthrough point. When you're worshiping or praying in tongues and you feel like, oh, I need to finish now, just keep going for another few minutes and you'll push the boundaries, because you've come to the edge of it. When you stop, you don't go any further. So that's why, just push it a bit more. There's a freshness when you do it. And the bow ever new in my hand. That was amazing, because when I had read that set in your foot thing in Joshua 1, I didn't realize that same word was in Job 29 when God said, have a look and read through that. And that whole bow thing about setting your foot, he says there, my bow will be new in my hand. What does that mean? Every time you do things with God, he always does new things. God doesn't repeat himself. It doesn't go stale. There's something new. When you set yourself in God and do whatever he says, you'll see new things happen, fresh things coming through. Amen. And that's linked with the worship, the freshness of his presence, linked in with the newness and the freshness of what he does. Okay, we need to finish. Men listened to me expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. After I'd spoken, they spoke no more. My words fell gently on their ears. Now that is a key verse. We're not going out with any judgment, any condemnation, any criticism. We're not going down to put anybody down, tell them where people are wrong and all of that stuff. We're not here to do that. We're here to go out there and lift people. There's enough things going on that tread people down. We're going out to lift. We're lifters of people. That's what you are. You're a believer, but you're a lifter of people. And it just says here, my words fell gently on their ears. People, you know, we're not here to tell people they're going to hell. That might come in somewhere in the, you know, and all of that. But we're not out here to, right, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. We're here to say, hey, God wants to give you everything that he's got. Because he doesn't want you to go there. But we're here to bring words of life that bring life. Amen. They waited for me as for showers and drank in my words as the spring rain. People need something fresh out there. When they come across us, they don't want somebody who's got another attitude about something they've already got an attitude about. What they need is, man, that's a fresh way of looking at it. Wow, that feels different. Wow, I want to spend more time with you because when I'm with, there's something, you have a whole different perspective on things than I do. Because even when you go and pay for your petrol now, everybody's moaning, aren't they? Limit X gone up another 1p since yesterday. You know, when I came in, you know, and all of that that's going on. Everything's going up. Don't join in that kind of conversation. Oh, I'm really naffed off with the government and all of that and stuff. It's like come with fresh rain, come in something fresh. People want to come into contact with something that's is different, that can bring change. Anyway, got to finish. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. People don't believe that Christians are happy. Or can be happy. I smiled at them and they scarcely believed it. The light of my face was precious to them. People don't want to come across a religious person. They want to come across somebody who's got something to live for. Somebody who's happy, they're vibrant, they're positive, they're uppy, they lift people, all of that. And when people come across us, man, they need to see the smile that is there. Because they don't expect the church to come with a smile. They expect the church to come with judgment and condemnation, to tell them where they're all going wrong and all this sort of stuff. But people need to see the church with a smile. You might think it's a bit gimmicky, but it's important that we have that understanding. The light of my face was precious to them. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. What does that mean? God wants the church to be people of influence in the town, that the ways of the town, the community, the region are affected because church brings leadership into what is going on. Okay? And the favor there is with the council, local authorities, and other people at the moment, it's fantastic what God is doing through different things that are going on. I dwell as a king amongst his troops, and I was like one who comforts mourners. There's a whole load more we could say that we haven't really got time for. But God is at work and God is doing stuff. And so as a church, we are setting ourselves and we are not going to shrink back. We're moving forward. Make that decision in your own life, your own heart, about everything going on. It's like, it's not just I'm going to walk around this and pray over it. Set your foot, tread, make a mark. Pull your bowstring up, set yourself and like, that's what I'm going for and that's what I'm aiming. This is it. I'm going to see victory here. I'm going to see everything that God has spoken about coming to being. That's in my spirit. The mind of my spirit is victory. It's not shrink back. It's move forward. It's taking ground. It's possessing salvation, a fresh release into our town. Let's stand up, shall we? Come on, let's just quickly thank the Lord for what he's saying and kind of doing in our lives at this moment. Come on, just thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray in the spirit right now. Pray in the tongues for a minute. Just pray right now in tongues. Set your spirit in place for victory right now. Just set yourself for victory. Set yourself for victory. You know the circumstances you're in. You know what God has called you to. You know where you're working. You know what you're doing in your life. Where God has put you, placed you, sent you, anointed you. That's where you tread. That's where you make your mark. That's where you set yourself for victory. That's where you move forward from. It's victory to victory to victory to victory. Yes, there are challenges on the way, but that's why we have faith, so that we overcome and have a victory in our lives and through our lives. Father, I thank you for a people of victory, a church of victory. Let's have the band up. Father, I thank you right now that this morning, ground has been taken in people's lives. They're being healed. Ground has been taken as a church. Father, I thank you that your salvation purposes are being released in our town in a fresh way. When you walk down Horsham Town, when you walk through the town, just remember what's been marked out. The cross has been marked out in our town center. The salvation purposes of God. So when you go down there, just thank God. Don't start praying all sorts of stuff. Just walk through the town at this moment and thank him for his salvation purposes. God just said to me, Clive, he said, as a church leader, you're responsible for things in the town. And you need to walk around like the town is yours. You're a leader. And there's natural leadership and spiritual leadership. But you need to bring some spiritual leadership in the spirit by doing what you're doing. And I'll sort some natural things out. But you just need to do what I show you to do. Because you represent something in the spirit because of being a leader. Whether you like it or not, you represent something. So just respond and be who I've called you to be. Wherever God has called you to be living your life, you have the authority to have victory and breakthrough in that area because that's where he's anointed you to be. That's where success and prospering is in your life, whatever it is, wherever it is. Thank you, Jesus. I know it's been a bit fast and a bit whatever this morning, but just get hold of, we're coming into a whole new time of victory. Breakthrough. We are not having Islam taking our nation. We are not having Islam taking our nation. This nation belongs to the Lord. We are not having other lifestyles and belief systems running rampant in our nation because this nation belongs to the Lord. It's time to mark the territory. And the ground is ours because it's been marked for God's purposes, God's saving purposes. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.